You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
First up on the show today, producer Connor Mercer spoke to Dr. Francis Collins from the Environmental Science Department at the University of Auckland. Dr. Collins is a leading researcher into migrant worker studies. We wanted to gauge his opinion regarding recent changes to migrant visas and how we measure value in migrant work and the quality of current election debate. He opened by asking, you have criticised the recent changes to the skilled migrant category and essential skills category visas as the introduction of a guest worker program. What do you see as the negative effects to our migrant workers and then in turn to resident workers?
Well, I guess the key effects in terms of people who are on work visas is that they become more dependent on their employers because the only basis of them being in New Zealand is what's on their work visa, which ties them to a particular employer and in particular occupation. Those changes also mean that individuals won't have the opportunity to remain long term if they're on a job that doesn't get above the mid-skill threshold. So basically, you know, there's likely to be an increased incentive for some employers to keep workers in those income thresholds. And I say likely to be because we can judge from international evidence that in countries where there are income thresholds, you kind of get a part of the labour force that becomes increasingly focused on people on work visas because it's easier for employers not to invest in them and not to develop their capacities, I guess, and not to see them as part of a future labour force.
I wanted to gauge your opinion on the new bans that have been introduced. Mm. Judging the skill of immigrants work through economic measures, specific remuneration bans as introduced. Is this an effective way to judge the skill and the contribution that these workers are providing to our society, or do we need to be looking at other measurements beyond economic factors?
I would say it's not an effective measure. You know, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, okay, you know, market's paying somebody more, so they must be more skilled. You know, at face value, that seems sensible. The problem is that in terms of the kinds of incentives it puts into the labour market and incentives it puts in particular, I think, for employers in terms of setting people up in particular kinds of positions. I actually, myself and a group of scholars actually made a submission on those reforms, and one of the big points we made was that these thresholds in principle are actually a really bad idea because they work to segment the labour market in ways that we don't want, not only for migrant workers but also for New Zealanders who might or might not work in the same workplaces. The question you had at the beginning was, you know, the reduction in the threshold from the original proposal, is that a good thing? Well, I guess it's good in the sense that it's not going to capture about 6,000 or 7,000 people, but the principle is still there, and one wonders what's going to happen over the next few years if that policy remains in place in terms of the labour market and in particular in terms of segregation within the labour market.
What you mentioned there, it's not the way we want to segment the labour market. Is there an alternative way that you'd rather see it divided up?
Well, I mean, my view is that any individual who is working in New Zealand should be given the same work rights. Even currently, prior to those reforms, someone on a work visa has their employer stamped on their work visa. That means in order to change employer, rather than just look for another job and get another job like you and I would, that individual then needs to apply to Immigration New Zealand. Immigration New Zealand going to go and contact the existing employer and ask what's going on and seeing if this is okay. So it sets up a whole set of dependencies between the worker and employer that shouldn't be there. So one of the big things I would suggest, if you know, in terms of changes around immigration policies, I don't think our work visas should have employers stamped on them so that workers are stuck with those employers. And there are plenty of stories about people getting treated really badly exactly because they have much less choice in terms of moving workplaces. You know, so that for me is one of the big issues here. And I think the income threshold can kind of add another layer on top of that, which makes things even more difficult for individuals who are on those, particularly in that lower income threshold.
A quick question regarding the new age conditionality they've added. So people that in that 30 to 39 year old bracket will receive more points. I was wondering, could you explain some of the thinking behind this and whether you think it's going to have a beneficial effect on our society and the way that immigrants are introduced into our society?
Yeah, so I mean, the thinking behind this is, you know, it's not just New Zealand's approach. Internationally, in particular in the settler societies like Australia, New Zealand and Canada, there's a kind of view that we want to try and identify who the ideal migrant is. And so the ideal migrant is of a particular age, of a particular health status, of a particular family size, proficient in English ordinarily, and of a particular occupation. And so those kinds of measures of age fit into that. I guess, you know, you can see some rationales for that, for people trying to plan, you know, who's arriving. But again, it's this kind of attempt to kind of mold a perfect individual, you know, from what in reality is the messiness of humanity. Is someone who's 39 necessarily going to make a bigger economic and I would also argue hopefully social contribution to New Zealand as someone who's 41. I think that kind of line in the sand it can be a little bit problematic. And what we need to think about a little bit more is the social connectedness of migrants and the contribution people make outside of simply their occupation, outside of the amount of money they have in the bank account, in terms of contributing to community life and the places that they settle into. But we just don't have that discussion. And it's not a question of, your next question might be, what's the measures? Well, we don't have the measures because we don't have the discussion in the first place.
Parties that have an anti-immigration rhetoric, such as New Zealand First or in part the Labour Party, do you think they're oversimplifying societal complications such as the housing crisis, unemployment, and they're trying to blame it on one specific cause and they're drawing too much of a link between immigration and the housing crisis or unemployment, for example?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. So there are two easy ways to account for why those individuals are wrong and those groups are wrong, and in particular the way in which the debate is completely off track. And one of those reasons is that we always talk about net migration. And so yes, net migration is at an unprecedented rate currently. So it's the highest we've seen in a long time. But the problem with talking about net migration is that doesn't tell us who you're talking about and whether those individuals who are arriving here, how long they're going to stay or what impact they might have on something like housing. So if you look at the current net migration rate, a lot of the increase over the last 5 years, which is when it's gone from zero to up to, 72,000, a lot of that is an increase in working holiday makers, a lot of it's an increase in international students, and a lot of it's an increase in fact, quite a substantial increase in New Zealanders returning from overseas. Now, yes, the New Zealanders returning from overseas will impact the housing market, but we don't want to do anything about that because that would be draconian in terms of immigration policy. For the other two groups, we know that they don't buy houses. And in fact, not only do they not buy houses, but they tend to move within very different rental spaces within cities as well. So working holiday makers don't even spend long in Auckland, even if they tick Auckland as their original destination. And international students, for better or worse, some are, double, triple, quad bunking in rooms. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it does tell us that we should be very skeptical of anyone who's suggesting that that those numbers are driving up the housing market. The other side of this, of course, however, is the thinking about New Zealanders and the coming and going of New Zealanders. And I'm not, by raising that, I'm not suggesting we would ever consider, regulating that in any way. But actually, that, in a sense, part of the concerns around the housing market relate to people who have capital and can buy houses. And that does sometimes include individuals who are already New Zealand citizens who have earned money overseas or are remitting it back. And that's not necessarily a problem. It just suggests that we should be focusing elsewhere. We should be focusing on the housing market itself and, whether there's too much speculation or whether there's, if it's a question of supply, well, that might be the other side of that argument. Migration, I don't think, can easily be connected to those things.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.